Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday morning, September the 25th, 2011, and I am so grateful you chose to be with me as we take a look at some very interesting questions for a Sunday morning. I still have a little bit of laryngitis left here, so please forgive my little grumblings, as it were. I don't like being sick. Do you? Maybe it's because I'm single and there's no one here to dote over me, but I really just don't like this thing. Anyway, forgiveness, compassion, patience, love. Patience wasn't one of my greatest virtues, I don't think, in this life. Anyway, I'm grateful you're here. I'm grateful that you're listening, and I'm very grateful that I have these questions to answer. And if you'd like a little more information regarding Aspire, what I teach, where I teach, how I teach, you want to see some of my TV programs, you can go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And there you will find yourself on the main website, and there's all sorts of things to peruse around, beginning maybe with some of the old radio programs that I've done, or looking at some of the TV programs on YouTube. We're going to be converting all of our TV programs over there, and not only that, but we're going to be making new ones, and they're going to be shown on YouTube. And you're going to see them more often and hopefully have a much broader scope in your life. That's what it's all about for me. Okay, let's get to the first question. It is a dilly whopper, and I love my dilly whoppers. I save them for Sunday morning, you know, while you're sitting there having your pancakes and French toast. My son, 6 years old, asked me, "Why am I here?" I asked him what he meant. He said, "Why am I here in the world with you and Daddy?" Greg, what do I say to him? Kathy from San Diego. Now, I've never met Kathy, so please understand, I don't know her. Well, well, my dear Kathy, huh? Out of the mouths of babes comes the gems of life. Who'd have thought that your sweet little son at 6 years old was going to be your Mahatma, your guide, your teacher, the one who's going to show you the way. Who'd have thought? But there he is, and he's asking you more than a question about himself. He is asking you a question about you, and that is really interesting. You know, when we have kids, everybody thinks that, you know, you just pop out a kid and you raise them. And most people that I've talked to, and I could be wrong about this, but I'm probably not. Most people that I talk to have preconceived ideas about religious beliefs that they want their kids to have. In other words, you know, if they're Methodist, they want them to be Methodist. If they're Catholic, they want them to be Catholic. If they're Jewish, they want them to be Jewish and all that other stuff. But here pops up this little boy who is way beyond all of that. And he is asking you a very profound question at 6 years old. He is asking you, why am I here? Now, Kathy, when I got this email, and you're one of the very few mothers that I know of that has, you know, talked to me about this. I have a guy down in San Diego that I work with, and his son, who's, how old is he, 7 or 8, is asking similar questions. And of course, I ask him, I say, you know, Harry, how are you answering these questions? And he, and you know, it's not important to him. He doesn't care. He said, well, I guess I'll just take him to church. You know, heal in our own life, what we don't figure out in our own living, through our own living, we just pawn off on a quote-unquote professional. You want your kids to be raised by the school system, and you want the ministers and priests to raise your children and give them the religious backing, so you've covered all your bases. This is so blooming ugly. And the guy down in San Diego is doing a horrible job with his kid. I hope you do better with yours. You asked me, my son asked me, why am I here? This is a question from the other shore to you, Kathy. Why are you here? What are you doing? You know, you get these little incarnations, these little people, and they come from many other places, and they're there simultaneously, and they're acclimating to this environment that we are in, this world that we are in. And then all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves here, and they're going, what am I doing with these two people in this world? Something we don't ask ourselves very often, or you don't, maybe. I do. By the way, Kathy, I was a child like your son, and I used to hound my parents about, why are we here? What am I doing here? Why are you in my life? I used to ask this all the time of my mother and father. Now, they were very liberal, and they looked at things from a different point of view, and it made my mother shiver to her timbers and made my father very inquisitive. He was not the kind of guy that would just listen to that and go, son, stop being foolish. And he would sit down with me and go, well, what do you think you're here for? He was very, very curious. You want to know how you should answer this question? You know, why am I here with you and daddy? You need to not answer the question. You need to help him discover his own answer. You need to discover your own, too. And maybe in helping him discover his answer, you will discover your own. You will find your own way. You need to really look at it from that point of view, because if you don't look at it from that point of view, Kathy, you will miss the entire experience called your life. He's there as a wake-up call to you. He's asking you, look beyond the edges. Look beyond the circumstances and the conditions. Go beyond all of that. Reach deep inside yourself. Find out, what am I doing here? Who are these people anyway? What's going on here? It isn't finding the right answer, Kathy. I mean, like, what should I say? But it isn't about that at all. If you look at it from that point of view, you'll just give him philosophy, and you'll give him religion, and that's not what he's asking for, and that's not what he needs. He's saying, I need a direct experience. There are some questions that are asked of us from the point of view of our inner life and our inner wisdom that are saying, I want a direct experience. They can only be answered through direct experience. If I were you, I would talk to him about it. I'd ask him where he's coming from, where he's been, how he got here. How did you get here? Did you know about your father and I before we knew about you? Little questions like that I would be asking. And I'd be getting a kick out of it. I would let it be something that bonded me and my son together. And maybe together we could, you know, explore things beyond conceptual ideas and beliefs. Then there would be something beyond the idea of right and wrong, good and bad. Maybe your son is looking for the way that he's slowly forgetting. I will never forget the old story. I'm sure you've heard it, about the little girl that had a brand new baby brother, and she told her parents she wanted to be alone with the child. But the parents were a little suspicious and thought maybe there might be some childhood jealousy going on here. So one day, after a lot of talking and persuading, the parents acclimated and said, yes, we'll let you be alone with your little brother for a few moments. And they listened in on one of those, microphone things that they have for kids, those little monitor things. And the little girl leaned over to her brother and said, tell me about God. I'm forgetting. Maybe your son is forgetting. And maybe he wants to remember. Maybe that's all it is. Don't take him to church, for God's sake. If you do that, you're just counteracting whatever it is he's trying to convey to you. Help him find it within himself. Help him find that love, that life within him. And if you're not prone to that, which most people that I know in this culture are not prone to that at all, then you're just going to confuse him and in a funny kind of way betray him and yourself. And he's never going to be quite happy in this world. Probably won't find the great joy. But if you help him pursue the way, if you help him go a little further through art, you can do some art projects with him. Give him a block of clay or some paint or crayons. Tell him to draw what he feels. Where was he before he was born? What was it like being born? Have him do all sorts of wonderful things that are nondescript and with no judgment whatsoever. And hang them around the house. Don't just let them sit there. Hang them around the house. Put them in places where you can talk about them. See what happens. Date them. Always date them. So one day when he's older, he can look at them and go, yeah, I remember when we talked about that or whatever. Kathy, you might have a real prodigy here. You might have something very, very special. You just never know. Treat him with love and respect. And don't be looking at this as some intellectual quiz that he's asked you. Maybe he's faintly forgetting what it's all about, and he needs to be reminded of just how beautiful he is. I hope this helps, Kathy. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Wow. I can only imagine what I would have had if I had had a biological of my own. Oh, my God. Oy vey. Next question comes from Sandy. And I don't know where she lives. She doesn't tell me. I'm in love with a man who does not seem to be in love with me. Well, at least he doesn't act like it. He's not very affectionate or romantic. How do I know if he loves me, Sandy? Well, gee, Sandy, doesn't he give you flowers all the time and tell you how sexy and beautiful you are? If he doesn't, go find someone new. That's what I hear all the time on the radio. I won't tell you who that was, my little imitation. Listen, Sandy, you know, immature women, they're a dime a billion. You guys have this kind of script written in your mind about fantasies. You fall in love with what you hear. You have little fantasies about being a little girl and being swept away by the great, knight in shining armor and la 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 la. And it keeps you immature, and it keeps you, quite frankly, ugly, because most men that I know, not all men, but many men that I know, don't like that at all. They want a real person to relate to. They're not there to cater to your romantic, immature needs like you would like them to. And just because maybe you never got that, I've heard this before, I never got that. Well, maybe you weren't supposed to get it. Maybe there's something more beautiful than what you're imagining you need and want. What if this guy loves you so much, Sandy, that he's beyond the idea of romanticism? Maybe he's there as the very catalyst for real love in your life. Maybe he's just being very patient with you and waiting to see if you get it. And waiting to see if you can get beyond this little girl fantasy you have of someone being affectionate and romantic with you. Just because he's not romantic and affectionate with you doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And maybe in the end, his love is more real than anything you've ever known before, and you just can't appreciate it because you're so busy in your la-la girl land that you can't understand that this is all about love, real love, not the love you've had before. When I was formerly teaching, many, many lifetimes ago, it seems. I used to do weddings, and I'm going to be very open and honest with you. I did them for the money. I didn't make much money. And in those days, $25 a wedding, that could buy you some groceries in those days. So I had to work all week, you know, counseling and working. Then on the weekends, I was living up in Santa Barbara at the time, because all of these people from La Land, L.A., would come up, and they wanted to get married in beautiful Santa Barbara. So I would do four or five weddings a weekend, and that would supplement my income enough for me to eat. And so I would be, you know, doing these weddings, and the women were over the top. Sandy, they just, I mean, they wanted it to be like, you know, Cinderella or something. Where you guys come up with this stuff and where you lose your maturity, I do not know. All the guys were rolling their eyes at it and giving the women what they wanted just so they could get laid. I mean, that's all it is legal lay. So the whole shebang was this great big show for $25. I'm standing there saying words they're not even listening to. All he can think about is, I'm going to get in her pants, I'm going to get in her pants, I'm going to get in her pants. And all she's thinking about is a chugging, chugging, chugging. I won't have to work anymore, and all my worries are gone. Now, you know, gee whiz, not much fun, huh? And I always wonder how many of these people that I married in the early 70s are even married anymore. Probably none. I have to tell you one day about the story of me and this. My first wedding was in Santa Barbara, and they wanted me to do it naked in the all together. I didn't even know what the all together meant. And one day I'll tell you about that. I have some memoirs that are funny, funny, funny things. And how I show up to the wedding and I'm wearing clothes and everyone else isn't. But that's another story. Sandy, get a life inside you. Grow up. Really, grow up. Geez, sit down with this guy and say, you know, I love you very much, but, you know, I've got all this fantasy stuff rolling around in my brain, and I've got this script that I've written that I'm starting to write you out of because you're not giving me what I want. I had it all planned out in my brain how you were going to act and love and give me and what I was going to do. We were going to have this wonderful relationship. Just tell him all the BS. You know, all the stuff you think is so important. And as you talk to him about it, listen to what you're saying. You'll be highly embarrassed. And you can just kind of look at it and go, you know, forgive me. And then find out if you really love this guy. I mean, he must love you, or he might love you, and he might just be hanging around until you yank his chain. I don't know who this guy, but I know if it were me, I'd be sitting there waiting for you to grow up. I'd be waiting for you to see the light of how you love. When Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey, he was talking about this very thing. You know, Sandy, getting married or being in love with someone is not a project. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And to treat it as though it has to be a business deal where you act this way and give me that and I act that way and I don't have to give you this or that is really, really ugly. And that's why there are so many difficulties in human relationships. That's why we have so many problems as human beings. We never consider that the way we love is immature. No one I've ever known has ever walked up to me and said, Greg, my love is so immature. I am just so embarrassed by the way I love. It is just assumed that you know. That you know what love is and that you know the way love works and blah, 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 blah. And it's not true. It's just not true. So what the Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey, is a very important thing. So, Sandy, I say to you what Buddha said. See how you love. Blah. And why your journey is going to be so difficult. Because you're trying to make him live up to a script he probably doesn't even know anything about. And if he does, and he's not acting it out with you, he may not like it. And that may mean to you he's not in love with you. But that may be very wrong. He could be a very mature person, maybe. And maybe he's just waiting for you to grow up. How long he will wait, I don't know. That's the real question. And if he's as blind as you are, you found your match, as it were. Forgive me, Sandy. Grow up. Grow within. Mature. Go into love, not into what you want. And do it with him. It can be a very beautiful thing. Please forgive me, Sandy. Namaste. Women, marriage. Men are clueless. You guys just don't really get it, do you? We pretend like we know, but we don't. We have no idea what the heck we're doing. I don't know how old they are, though. Last question. Where is God these days? Seems like there's a big void around here. Alan. And I don't know where Alan listens to me from. Alan. What makes you think there's a God that's in control of all this or in charge of this mess? Would you really, really, Alan, sit down with me here. Take the coffee out of your mouth and just listen to me a minute. Would you really want to be a part of a God that made this whole mess? Trust me. You think God just sat down and thought, well, okay, we'll just make this mess. You know, it's assumed that God is around. You're saying if, probably. Now, I'm supposing here, and I could be entirely wrong in the horse's patoot here, but what's new? But what I hear you saying is, who's in charge here? Where's the beef, as they say in the 70s? Where's the dude? Where's the love? Where's the order? Where's the sanity? That's really what I hear you saying. Dude, there is none. You're not getting it. You know, you're just not getting it. If Jesus is right that God is love, the real question is, where's the love? What is love? Now, most people think they know love, as I was talking to Sandy a moment ago. She's sure she knows what love is. Oh, absolutely. Do you? How do you know this isn't running just perfectly the way it is? The killing, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, all this stuff. How do you know it's just not perfect, just the way it should be? Because that's what's happening now. And maybe it has nothing at all to do with this idea that somebody's in control and operating, making this all happen. Maybe there's more to all of this than we imagine. So I really don't know. Alan, you asked me a question. Who's in charge here, as it were? You are. I are. The only thing we can do is love. Forgive and give. Love, forgive, and give. There's nothing more to it. You're not going to change the world. You're not going to get people to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Love, forgive, and give. People aren't going to jump on that bandwagon. They're not going to look at that and say, yeah, how could we have strayed so far? It's really that simple. But it is that simple. And the problem with most of us is we don't care. You'd have to find people that care. If you haven't noticed, Alan, people are running around in a tremendous amount of fear right now. And isn't God wanting you to be afraid, as the biblical God says you should be God-fearing? So there you are. Ain't that it? I don't think so, but a lot of people do. The majority of people do. I say, I agree with Jesus. God is love. Buddha didn't even talk about the word God because he knew it was so charged emotionally, so he wouldn't go there. Very wise man. Lao Tzu, same thing. Called it the Tao. Whatever you call it, the real question is, where is it within you? Of what priority does it have within you, Alan? Is there any priority to it at all? Or are you just getting through, like most people, wishing that people would act different while we act the same as they do, even though we think we know differently? Alan, find it within you. And stop looking around thinking things should be better. I wish they were too. They're not. And they're not going to be. So let love live you. And let go of your hopes and dreams for some kind of Camelot or someone to grab this thing and take it by the horns. Ain't gonna happen. Okay? Repeat after me. Ain't gonna happen. You must be the change you wish to see in the world, as Gandhi said. He was right. Please forgive me. Namaste. Very unsatisfying answer, I'm sure. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you with, please come to the website at aspire.org. Go to the main page there. You will see contact in the upper right. Click on it and fly. You will also see there one of the most beautiful offerings I give every year, my year-end DVD. And it's all about a story that I love so much, a Sufi story. My students love it too. It's called The Holy Shadow, about a man who just wanted to do a great deal of good without ever really knowing it. That was what he wanted to do. And it's a cute little story. It's good for kids, good for you, good for me. And it helps remind us of what it's all about. This little DVD is free, and I hope that you will order it. You can do so by going to the website at aspire.org. You will see a little banner going across, a very important little banner. And that little banner just kind of says, hey, order here, and you can order there safely and securely, and much will happen. I am out of here. Got through this one with the laryngitis thing. Forgive my voice. Hopefully next week it'll be better. Please forgive me. Namaste.